Dear God, hallowed be thy name, and honor, glory be unto you. For it is our desire this night as we come together in your house, that our assembly might be to thy name's honor and glory. For the strengthening of this people, and for the forwarding of thy work. Hear our petition, dear God. We know that you have not left us alone in days that are past, for we've seen thy mighty hand in all thy works, and we look anxiously, anticipating those events of the future which you may hold out before us, and the strength of your hand. We ask as we are gathered here this night that you will bless our brother who will speak to us with those words which you alone can give, words of strength, words of edification, words of courage, words of truth and righteousness. We ask that you would bless him with his strength in his own body and clearness of mind, that he would be indeed an instrument in your hands. We ask also that as those who are afflicted may come before the elders, and they lay their hands upon him, them anointing them with oil, that you would heal them and raise them up. Rebuke those afflictions, every one. And those who cannot come this night and though yet are afflicted, we pray also for them, that you would heal them of their afflictions. But we ask, dear God, that you would heal us spiritually, that we might have a faith that would not shrink, that would be able to face the tomorrows, the trials and tribulations that may be there, with an eye single to thee and to thy name's honor and glory, with a faith that would not falter or waver. We do commend ourselves into your hands now at this time, asking these favors, these blessings, and giving you the thanks. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Through the precious memories of God's hand in our lives in the past, we're better able to hold to a true and real hope for the future.
Precious memories, unseen angels, sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross,
the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. Precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory appear. On the eve of New Year, near the midnight, echoes from the past I hear. Old time singing, gladness bringing from that lovely temple lot. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. As I travel on life's pathway, know not what the years may hold. As I ponder, hope grows fonder, precious memories flood my soul.
Please join us.
Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness sacred scenes unfold.
Thank you, Gary and Neva. Tonight I am caused to remember many of the blessings that God has given me in my life. And they have been so numerous that I can't count them. It seems like in the last few months they have magnified daily. But as I look back upon them, I count one blessing that came to me or to our home about 35 years ago when a young couple was introduced to us to stay with in our home during conference time. And they've grown ever nearer and dearer to us over the years. And so tonight I am real happy and thrilled to introduce to you as our speaker of the evening, Brother Laverne Lussenden from Michigan. Brother Lussenden.
Those many years that we have been friends of Leslie and Irene, and their home has been open to us, has been just as equal a joy to us as it has been to I hope, to them, as he said, or to, how I said it backwards, didn't I? Sister Betty said I could tell jokes tonight. I'm not going to do that, but I might do it by just plain being tired. How many of us tonight are really tired? Raise your hands. Okay. I'm supposed to try to keep you awake, and I may be the first one asleep. Not because I don't feel the need of something to say, not because we have not, in my opinion, done what the Lord's work is, but I also feel the great struggle for our brother Mosier and his companion, and I want to always extend the invitation to our home and our church at any time. And if you ever get discouraged, sister, call my wife. She can tell you. I've been through a lot of it, and she lifts me up on a daily basis, so call on her anytime. I would ask Manon if she would come up, and I would like to open my service tonight, or my portion of this service, with a song that to me is most precious, and I think it has a bearing on the work of Brother Mosier and all of us that hold the ministry. I shouldn't say the ministry, the responsibility. I like to use certain words, the responsibility of the ministry. not just the ministry. And this song is called There's Something About That Name. We have not done this before, so Manon is going to help me.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Jesus. The mere mention of his name can calm a storm, heal the broken, and raise the dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hearted men melted, derelicts transformed, and the lights of the hope put back into the eyes of the hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn into love and forgiveness. Yes, even arguments are made to cease. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious with fever. And I've watched that little body grow quiet and the fevered brow grow so cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, when those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper her sweetest name. Jesus. Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophers have tried to stamp it out. And tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet it still stands. And there shall be in that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race shall rise in one great mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So you see, it was just not mere chance that caused the angel one night long ago to say to that virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus. 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 You know, there's just something about that name.
Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after a rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about his name.
Thank you, Sister Manon. Tonight, I'm going to try to be as brief as I know how, and that's hard for me. We have spent a fruitful few days in prayer and in testimony and deliberation, And tonight, the setting apart of one of our brothers and his companion to further service to Jesus Christ. And I guess that's really what this song, and that's why I chose it for you, Brother Mosier. There is just something about that name of Jesus Christ to each one of us, that no matter what the problem is, we have that privilege of going to Him and asking for His assistance. So those of you that like to follow along, I will give you the references, but we're going to be brief in our readings, not make a lot of comment on each one, but I want to talk strictly about the name of Jesus Christ tonight, to my personal needs and to yours. We're going to start in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice. For henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I would like you now to turn with me, if you'd like to the 7th chapter of the book of Isaiah, starting about the 14th verse. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, and that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. We'll not take time to amplify on that. Now I would like you to turn with me, if you would quickly, to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Remember, I'm talking about the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We're going to start at the 3rd verse. We're not going to cover all these verses. You'd be here tomorrow morning. Remember when Paul one time preached all night and they took a person up from the hayloft and administered to him, I guess, and Paul kept on going till the morning? I don't plan on doing that to you. But I want to let you know that we've learned about this one. Now we're going to learn some more about him. He is despised and rejected of men. See, first we found something about Isaiah. Now Isaiah tells us something more about him. He was despised, he was rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking about this one that is to come to save each one of us in that time. I would like us now, if we would, to turn to Matthew, the 1st chapter. You're going to say, well, what has this got to do with Isaiah? Everything to do with it. Everything to do with it. We're going to start at the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, and when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, there's just something about that name. I want you to remember this song as we go through these tonight, please. For he shall save his people from their sins. I've heard people quote that a little differently. He shall save people in their sins. It doesn't say that, does it? He'll save people from them. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, and it doesn't say Isaiah, but we know it is, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. We read that in the 7th chapter, did we not? I might take us just a little bit farther, if I might. Let's go over to Luke. And we'll start there. I don't want to cover any more than I have to for you because I know you are tired. I think we'll start in Luke about the 8th verse for those of you that are following. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That word peace is certainly something that we need in our time, do we not? And we're going to have to wait for the Lord to give it to the world as He promised that He would. I would like us now, if we would together, turn to the 3rd chapter of Matthew. I am kind of making you go back and forth here. But I think these things will lead up to that which we are most concerned about, and we will shorten these verses for you. We will go to the 13th to the 17th verse. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him, or baptized him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have so far found out what the prophet Isaiah was talking about. That this one that was to come to you and to me and to all mankind that would receive him, his name shall be called Jesus. Being interpreted, God with us. I would ask you, if you would, to turn to me to the 17th chapter of St. John, or of St. Matthew, or Matthew. This is not my normal way of preaching. My congregation knows that. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not frightened or afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. This gives us a little bit of enlightenment, does it not? That when we look out to the peoples of the world, we have to first look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, in all that we do. All that we say, all that we ever hope to be, goes to the honor and glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father. If you would turn with me now, as I said, I'm going to try to cover these as quickly as I can, to the 17th chapter. I'm sorry, we did that, did we not? I'd like you to think, well, I'm not going to turn to it because we don't have the time this evening, but I'd like you to write down, if you're taking notes, and I notice some of you are, 1 Nephi 3:56. 1 Nephi 3:56. And it speaks there about the condescension of God, the coming of Jesus Christ to mankind. And then I'd like to have you make a note, if you would, the third chapter of the book of Nephi, in the eighth chapter, about Jesus coming to His people. And in that book, we find the blessings that Jesus gave to those people as He touched them, as He offered the sacrament to them, as they were made to be made well, as each one of them that came, if you remember, He gathered them around and He said, bring your little ones, and He blessed them. And then He said, bring all your sick, and He healed them. The thought being that Jesus has a desire to touch every one of our hearts, both on this continent and every continent of the world. And so, in that thought, as I said, we don't have the time to talk on each one of these in length, but I want you to, in your mind, just take your Bible and your Book of Mormon and think about being born of the Virgin Mary. She pondered all these things in her heart, did she not? We read that earlier. I want you to think about Jesus at age 12 years old, going into the temple and there confounding the scribes and the Pharisees of that day. And they said He spoke as one having authority at a tender age. So people will say to me sometimes, well, what about the age of this or that or that? Well, I trust the Lord can work through all that He so desires. I want you to think about His first miracle, that He went to the wedding and He was asked to make water into wine when they had run out. I'd like you to think about a time that He sat on the mountain and talked to 5,000, and another place it says 4,000, and because they were hungry and they were tired, like I'm sure you are tonight, He told His disciples to go out and feed the multitude. And they said, how are we going to do it, Lord? We don't have enough food for all these people. And with a few fishes and a few loaves of bread, they fed the multitude, and I think every one of us, I were to ask you the question. I do this frequently in my congregation, or the congregation I'm responsible for. I shouldn't ever say my congregation, the congregation I'm responsible for. I ask questions, and they better be awake, and they better know the answer. And I won't do that to you tonight, but I'm saying that this message that I'm giving you now, the congregation that I talked with 2 weeks ago, were asked every one of these questions that I've been proposing to you and where to find them. And I was amazed of the number of my brothers and sisters, including the children, that knew who I was talking about. If you remember, he fed the multitude, and then the disciples came and took up, what, 12 baskets, did they not, of the loaves and the fishes. So there was, not only did He feed them, but there was plenty left over. So the Lord is not slack concerning His giving to us, as whether healing our sick or answering our prayers, whatever it is. God is not shortened. It says in the book of Isaiah that our iniquities have kind of made us go away from Him. But that's not my purpose of talking about that tonight. Think of the times that Jesus, and I have just written down here a few, times that He has healed the sick. Think of the times that He walked through Jerusalem and Jericho and the different places that He went and reached out and touched one who had leprosy. And if you will think for a moment, who was it that Jesus healed? It were the people that the doctors of that day could do nothing for. The lame, as I said before, the leper, the deaf, the blind. There were people that the world, the physicians, they had probably spent every dime they had trying to get better. We hear all stories of these people. I remember the one story I'm thinking in my mind right now, maybe you've got some in your mind, of a woman that for 12 years had a problem. It's called an issue of blood, and we want envelop on that, but you know what I'm talking about. And she said something like this, if I can but reach out and touch the hem of His garment, I'll be whole. That's faith. If I can just touch the hem of His garment. This evening we had three young people. I'm going to call them all young. Brother Denham was young to me. Administered to. The song says you be young at heart. And that same blessing and gifts are to us today as they were to those people then. They belong to us. They're our inheritance. And I think sometimes we forget that this is our inheritance. The gospel, the word gospel is good news, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save you and to save me and to save others. And so,
he touched blind people. They could do nothing for the blind, made them see. We know the story of that. As we said before, Mary and Martha came to him one time, running. Said, our brother has died. Lazarus is dead. What are we going to do? If you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. Do you think Jesus knew ahead of time that Lazarus was there, in the condition that he was in? He sure did. Because he let the power of God be made known. And he walked in there and he said, Lazarus, come forth. What did we sing in this song? Raise the dead. Is God able to do that? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I have not had the privilege of seeing it, but I've heard testimony. In fact, I hope I won't hurt my brother Hubie's feelings when I say it. I've heard him bear testimony he has seen this at the Phoenix reunion. Not, it didn't happen then, but whenever it happens in his life, it happened in his life. He bore testimony of it. I have not been privileged to see that. But I sure have sat beside an awful lot of brothers and sisters, even in times of death, and seeing the blessings of God. And so he raised Lazarus from the dead. Another individual was standing one day being ready to be stoned. And she was guilty. She had been guilty of the sin called adultery. And we all know the story how Jesus knelt down and he reached in the sand and wrote in the sand. And they all had their stones ready to stone him. And Jesus just merely said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. Boy, I sure couldn't cast one at anybody. I've got too many that would have to come back at me. But he said something to that woman, which maybe we don't amplify enough on. He said, neither do I condemn thee. And this is when I asked my congregation, go and sin no more. He didn't say continue to live in sin. He said, go and don't do it again. Repent. And believe the gospel. And so he's able then to what? Forgive. Forgive. Whatever it is that you and I have done or may do, he is able to forgive. And I think that's in a way what I'm saying to Brother Mosier and to all of us that hold the ministry, that we have to be willing as servants of God to go to brothers and sisters even that we don't agree with. Whether it be a doctrinal issue or some other issue, that we have complete opposites and still try the best we know how to extend our hand of love and of fellowship one to another. Extend the hand of Jesus Christ just as he has extended it to me and to you. Not taking again the time to go to the scriptures for this, but Jesus finally would go to the cross. And there upon the cross, after being beaten and whipped and spat upon and the royal robe put upon him and an inscription across that cross that says, Hail, King of the Jews. We don't hear him speaking too much. Just a few words are recorded. One of the thieves said, if you're who you say you are, come off the cross. Save us and yourself too. Another one said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And we know the answer to that, what he said to that man. But one thing he said upon that cross that is very, very important, a word called forgiveness. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then it says, on the third day, he rose from the dead. And I'd like you to turn with me, if you would. As I said, we're really covering a lot of history here. But I think this name of Jesus is so important, at least to me and to each of us, and to my brother that will be carrying on further work. He's already carried on a lot, but he's going to be carrying on much more. I'd like you to turn to the 28th chapter of Matthew, if you would, with me. And again, trying to shorten this as quick as I can so that in the end of the eighth, and the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn about the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Underline this in your hearts tonight. He is not here. He is risen. I'm hoping that Brother Bruner will get me a copy, or Brother Leslie will get me a copy, or somebody that's in this area that takes the, help me out, Brother Bruner, your papers. Examiner. I heard my brother read two things this morning. One, that a certain church is kind of doing away with that second coming of Jesus Christ. And another statement was made in another one of the papers about the foolishness of serving God and serving Christ. Well, if this book, the 66 books of our Bible, from Genesis to Revelations and our Book of Mormon and all the things that we know about our God is not true, then I guess it's time to take a nap, isn't it? We're all tired. But because we know what the Word of God says, because we have had instructions in our lives, we know that we must hang on to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not just a portion of it or what I think is important, but all of it. And so it says here, He is not here. He is risen as He said. You see, Jesus made that commitment that He said, "If I go, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also." He said that to His disciples, and He's saying it to us. Many of us have been to funeral services, and we've heard it said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." Yes, He's ever preparing something for each one of us. And I understand the Scripture also to say that it's never even entered into my mind, or my thoughts, or my heart, the things that God has laid up in store for them that love Him. So I guess it's sure worth hanging on to this one. His name shall be called Jesus. And if you would continue on to the 28th chapter with me, I would like to tell you something that Jesus Himself said as we go over to that. Jesus now had died on the cross. He had raised from the dead. We said that Mary and the other Mary had come and then had run back to the disciples. He had come to the upper room. He had made Himself known on the way to Emmaus, made Himself known unto several people about His resurrection. And He made this profound statement to you and to me. "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." All power. There is nothing that our Savior cannot do. "Go ye therefore and teach," isn't that what Brother Mosier has been requested to do by God? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them." Now, I don't know how you are or were in school. I know how our children were in school. And we had some children that seemed like they had no problems bringing home an A. And we had some children that had a problem bringing home an E. You know, you want me to get funny, I can get funny, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. They just had trouble even getting to school. Say nothing of paying attention. I remember going up to school one time, having to correct one of my children. I went to a teacher, he was about 7'3", played basketball. He wasn't quite that tall, but he was a lot bigger than I am. And by the way, I'm wearing a sweater because my jacket won't fit me. I've gained too much weight since going to Phoenix, Arizona. This is almost out of stretching now. But anyway, I went up to school and I corrected my son, and I went down to this teacher in the lounge, and I said to this great big huge basketball player, I said, "Are you having trouble handling my son?" I said, "Because if you can't, I'm able to." And I'd have a hard time. Brother Don was talking about his teaching experience. He said he was a terrible teacher. I just cannot believe that. No way can I believe it. But I can sure understand why his patience would have run thin a few times. Jesus was called the great teacher on the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes. He tells us how we should conduct our lives. I wonder how many times Jesus has kind of thought, oh, if I could just take a yardstick and just whop him right across the neck, or whatever a teacher did. My teacher grabbed me by the ear, Miss Whalen. I'll never forget her. She was 102. She grabbed me right by the ear, took me right up to the front of the class, and told everybody what I had done. And I can, this day, I know she's got to be dead or reincarnated, something. Now I'm getting to my old habits. Betty, I apologize. She said I had to keep her awake, and I saw her sleeping there, and I didn't know what to do. I told them out in Phoenix, Arizona, that Brother Hubie had two horses, and he put a red tag on one and a blue tag on the other so he could tell the white one from the black one. But I don't know how well that went over either. The thought is, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is saying, as the great teacher, observe what I've told you and now live it. And I wonder how many times a teacher has put it up on a blackboard. 1 and 1 is 2. 2 and 2 is 5. No, 4. 4. What is it in modern math? I don't know. You see, they start out and pretty soon they get something new and they confuse you. I still am going with the old math, and I have to do it with the pencil and the paper. Somebody the other day said, oh, I can do it so much faster than a calculator. Well, I have a hard time running that. I haven't learned these new fangled gadgets. I admire my brother that sits up here at that machine and keeps up with it. I don't know how he does it, because I can remember when Forrest Maley used to do it by hand and read it back. I don't know how it's done. Jesus is a great teacher. And notice what he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And some people quote that as the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, this is something that I think we need to be really refreshing our minds on, observing the commandments of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelations and from Nephi on, observing what the Word of God tells us and then listening to His voice on an everyday basis. Just as a teacher daily puts that lesson on the blackboard, and hopefully at the time of an examination, every one of those children are able to pass it. As teachers of the gospel of Christ, I trust that I, along with you, can pass each one of these examinations that the Lord has given us. I would ask you, if you would, to turn to Acts, the first chapter. As I said, this is not my normal way of preaching. I usually just grab a verse or chapter and talk on it. And the Lord just kind of puts a lot of thoughts in my mind, and I'm trying to sort them out. But I didn't want to do that tonight, and maybe I should have. Sometimes, you know, we think, I better just do it the old way that others do it, and I don't want to be out of step with my brothers and sisters, so I'll do it. But I think, like someone said, it was Brother Jay. He said, I'm Brother Jay. I'm not Vern Lusenden or anybody else. I'm who I am. Would we want him any different? I wouldn't. Would we want any one of our brothers and sisters that we know and love to be really any different? Oh, we may want them different in a doctrinal point or something, but I'm talking about we want our brothers and sisters to be like they are. I'd like to be thinner. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, in all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up, after that he thought that the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive even after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus didn't come just wasting time. You don't find any sentence of Jesus ever just talking foolish. He was always serious about everything he said. and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For truly, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Well, that was a fair question. If you'd go to the 24th chapter of Matthew, we find the disciples asking three questions, don't you? We won't get into those tonight, but one of those was, what is the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And so they asked this question. Jesus makes a very profound statement, and sometimes we've got to rely on his word. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in whose own power? His. Thank you. His own power, not mine. I may have all sorts of ideas how God should run his business. I understand the earth, just help me out, Brother Don, but I think the earth is around 25,000 miles around it, is it not? And 8,000 miles in diameter, right straight down through it? And for some unknown reason, that great big sphere, you know, we think we sent an astronaut up into space, and he's out there in space. So are we. You ever thought about it? We're hanging up there in space. It says he hangs the world on nothing. And for some unknown reason, he made the sun just in the right area. Am I right, 25 million miles? Help. 93, thank you. Boy, I don't know anymore. You know, I didn't go to school for a long time. 93 million miles away, and it's just about the right temperature for Phoenix, Arizona, or Independence, Missouri, or Hopkins, Michigan, at the right time, at the right place. And that sun hasn't moved, as far as I know, out of its sphere since I've been born. That's sometime. And for some unknown reason, the moon was placed, I better not say 25,000 miles, had I? It's 250,000, isn't it? Good, got one right. Boy, I wouldn't have passed Brother Don's exams. 250,000 miles up there, and for some unknown reason, he made that the lesser light to shine at night. And for some unknown reason, he put stars up in the heavens that we could go out at night and gaze and watch them fall. And they tell me that stars are up there that are been gone for years and light years and are still giving light to this planet. And when we were out in Phoenix, Arizona, and had the opportunity to go through the petrified forest and other places, I don't understand all of this. But I don't have to. That's the issue. I don't have to understand it. God says here, it is not for you to know, at least at this time, what God hath put under his own power. You know, they've been trying to get to the ark, have they not? Up there in Mount Ararat, they've been trying up there in Turkey. I don't know how many times they've tried expedition, excavation. Boy, we've been talking about different things, haven't we? And they can't make it. They try it, and they can't make it. And I keep thinking, why don't they just take a helicopter up there and drop somebody? I don't know. Maybe a helicopter won't fly up there. I don't have the faintest idea. But for some unknown reason, God hasn't allowed them as yet to go up there and find if it's made of gopher wood or not. But they've got little particles that have fallen down, and they sure think that's what it is. And you've seen it in the papers, frozen in ice. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Now, this is very important, what I'm saying right now, because that's the purpose of my brother's calling. That's the purpose of my calling. And it's the purpose of every one of you here that have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or that will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and into Judea and into Samaria. You mean that tells me I've got to go to Judea, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I've got to go to Samaria to be a witness? No. And to the utmost part of the earth. Whether it be in the Yucatan or whether it be at Hopkins, Michigan, I am been called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And we sing a song sometimes in our hymnal, I don't know the number of it, it says, are you witnessing for him? Sister, what? Oh, I thought you knew the number. She knows every one of them, I'll bet you. Are you witnessing for him? Does your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify who? God. who is in heaven. I'm not going to ask you that. I'm just challenging you. Do the people around you know that you are a Christian? To you, is there something about that name? I trust there is. I would ask if you would quickly to turn to me with me to Philippians, the fifth verse. I'm sorry, Philippians, the second chapter, the fifth verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We just found out a Savior who would come and conquer sin and conquer death and heal the sick and make the broken and all of these different things that we read in here, and that emperors would try to destroy it and philosophers would try to stamp it out. Tyrants would try to wash it from the face of the earth. Yet it still stands, according to this song. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You might think on that word reputation. Am I more important than my brothers or my sisters? No, I'm not. It says, if you want to be great, be a servant. Good. Boy, I wish all of you had been in my congregation that day, or my, you know, I'd have just had you having fun with these words. Little words that are so important. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, flesh, blood, bone, just like I am. He suffered. He bled. He died. Can any of us imagine going into the Garden of Gethsemane and there kneeling in prayer, insomuch it says that drops of blood came from his pores, and he made a statement such as this: if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. And he asked some people called his disciples to follow along and pray with him an hour. You know, we get awful excited if the prayer meeting lasts 3 hours. And I wonder sometimes if the Lord wants us to be that lengthy. I don't know. But he just asked his disciples if they'd watch an hour. How many times did he come back and find them sound asleep? Three. What did he say to Peter? He says, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. You see, I could keep going. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here tonight? Brothers and sisters, there is no way I could take these verses and not continue to expound and expound. It's like a tree that grows up that begins to get branches and branches after branches. And then finally the buds come and the fruit comes off of it. And that brings forth more trees and fruit. And of course, you even have to prune it out. And I've had those experiences through the years of my ministry that while I'm trying to preach my mind, and I'm sure other brothers have had the same experience, there's so many things coming in your mind, you're picking them out like this, or you'd have the people there all day and all night. Or they walk out, I don't know which. On me, they might walk out. But he wants us to be a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. A song that was written by Ray Overholt. You maybe don't know him at all, but he happens to be a cousin of mine. And his life was not according to his song that he wrote. He could have called 10,000 angels. You know the song, don't you? You know that man was arrested in Grand Rapids for indecent exposure? Now, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings about that song, but how many times we've all sung it? We love the song. So I have a hard time singing that song because I know the man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And yet, there's beautiful words in that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. And he became obedient even to the death of the cross, which we talked about in the Garden of Gethsemane. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What did we just get through singing a little while ago? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. Yes, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the honor and glory, whether I administer to the sick or preach to our congregation or go visit them or talk on the telephone or visit the sick in the hospital, I don't get that honor and glory. That goes to God through Jesus Christ. Let's just quickly, and we're really winding down right now, and some of you are going to say, amen. You got a right to do that. That won't offend me a bit. I wouldn't want to listen to me either. In fact, my wife bought a tape of my sermon in Phoenix, Arizona, and I don't want to listen to it. Let's turn to the second chapter of Peter, the third verse. We'll try to shorten this. Say the tenth verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. In other words, understanding of the Bible and of the Book of Mormon, I believe with all my heart, and I'm going to make this as my profound statement, as Brother Don made profound statements, and Brother, help me out last night, Brother Allen made profound statements. I believe we're living in the very closing dispensation of man as we know it. The soon return of Christ to this earth. I don't care what any other church says. In fact, I'll just give you a little thing that happened. I help a funeral home out. I don't mean that I'm there all the time, but I help with the family when they have their problems and park their cars and help with the little children when, there is a death in the family. And the wife and I went the other night. I don't want to get into this, but we went to have to pick up a little girl that died of the measles. And the wife had never gone with me to bring a child back from Detroit like that before. It really bothered her, and I understand that. And I, the other day, was at the graveside of this little child that had passed away. And the mother sat in her car, and there she wept bitterly for several minutes. And the grandparents wept. And others wept with her. Now, you and I would say, well, why does she weep? That little child's in the hands of Jesus Christ. Because she bore it. She carried that child for 9 months. Sat up, it was, I say 9 months, less than that, because it was premature. It had problems from the day it was born. It was in the hospital almost continually. She sat with that child day and night. We can't even imagine what that is like. And so in helping these people at the funeral parlor, I just kind of feel I'm being some kind of a help to those people when I open the door or tell them, the Lord will give you strength through this. Hang on to Jesus. Or maybe other things that have been said. So I believe we're living in the very closing dispensations as we understand it. And we're going to have to be ready. So he says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, I'm not going to take the time to ask us if every one of our conversations are always godly. You ever gossip? Ever find fault? Ever criticize? Oh, I could keep going. You ever listen to a joke that the Lord wouldn't really want us to be telling or listening to? Mm-hmm. And later on we think, well, I shouldn't have listened to that, or I shouldn't have told it. What manner of person ought ye to be with all holy conversation and godliness, looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, you see, I emphasize certain words, His promise, not my promise, the Lord's promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Good. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in striving, complaining, griping. No, peace. Might underline that in your Bible. I did in mine. Found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Boy, that's a tough sentence. That is a real tough sentence. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to return back to this earth, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and we're going to be judged, everyone, according to our works. And he tells me that I've got to be found a peaceful individual without spot and blameless. So that means I've got a lot of praying to do, a lot of soul searching to do, a lot of giving up of myself into the love of Christ. He's got to be a part of my life. And I'm not going to turn to it because I know, as I said, you're getting tired, but if you want to write it down, you may. If you would turn to the 19th chapter, the 8th verse of the book of Revelations, it says that the children of God were arrayed in robes that were white. Can anybody tell me what that whiteness stood for? Amen. You got it too. You're as tired as can be and still got it. The righteousness of the saints. Now, I didn't say self-righteous, did I? Lord, remember the two men, if I can take just another minute, remember the two men that went up to the temple to pray? Oh, Lord, I'm sure glad I'm not like this feller. I fast. I tithe. I do this and I do that. I'm just so wonderful. Oh, Lord, you've got to forgive me because I'm so wonderful. And the other fellow said, just stood back and kind of bowed his head and said, Lord, forgive me a sinner. And he tells us which one went home justified. Yeah, sometimes that's all we can do is come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me and help me to walk in better and straighter paths. Help me to grab hold of that rod of iron that it speaks about in the Book of Mormon and walk as straight and narrow as I can with your help. Help us to put on those robes of righteousness. In closing, I'm just going to read one verse in the book of Revelations. Guess that won't hurt if it falls. And I'm not going to read the concordance. Thank you, Brother Leslie. He's a true servant. The 20th verse. He which testify these things says, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That is my hope, my prayer, and my concern for this church, for my neighbors, for my friends, and even for my enemies. That when the Lord Jesus Christ does make his appearance, that I will be found worthy through his grace, and you will be found worthy through his grace and through his blood, is my prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Laverne, and may the Lord go with you on your journey home in the morning. Our closing number is 307. Perhaps we've got some announcements to make. Is that right, Brother Sheldon? There will be a prayer service here in the morning at 8 o'clock. We hope to see all of you here at that time. And a business session at 10 o'clock. And dinner at 12:30 and another business session at 2:30 in the afternoon. So keep those things in mind and try to be as prompt as you can. 2 in the afternoon tomorrow. 2 in the afternoon instead of 2:30. Right. Okay, thank you. 307.
To bear, all the privilege to bear.
Dear God, hallowed be thy name, and thanks be unto thee for the gifts of this day, for this day. We thank you for those words which have been brought to us this evening, and help us to remember the name of Jesus. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby man might be saved. May we take him with us wherever we go. May he dwell within our hearts and our minds, that he would continually be there. For we know of the peace and of the joy and of the happiness that he has brought into the world and into mankind's hearts. We ask that you bless each of us now as we draw to the close of this day, that we might receive rest throughout the night, that you draw us together again on the morrow to complete whatever tasks may be required of us, with thy Spirit in our bosoms and thy name upon the name of thy Son upon our lips, that we may honor and glorify him and thereby thee. Go with those who may be traveling upon the highways to protect them from harm and danger over the long hours and the long miles. Dear God, keep them in the hall of your hand and bring us together again at those opportunities which you will provide. And to thee give the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Yes, we leave about 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning. Yeah.